Welcome and good morning, everybody. This is the Fisherman Ministry, South Carolina's Sunday morning edition.
You see, hopefully we'll be in a chapel next week. The new one. Air conditioner's working. We're going to paint. We're going to conduit. Get some lines in there. Toilet works. So praise the Lord. But, you know, I was talking with Paul this morning, and he said something that was very interesting that got me thinking. As Paul looks at me in this wondering daze. And, you know, there's a couple of things that has been running through my mind. And, you know, he said, he goes, you know, I'm not concerned about filling the chapel with people. I want to fill the chapel with the Lord. And, you know, I was thinking on that. I said, thanks, Paul. That gives me something to talk about this morning. You know, and then he was like, what? You know? But it's true. I mean, you know, you take a look about what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be about? The Father's will. Amen. And the sum of that, love God and love one another. And you know, it's one thing that as people come in to be about the Lord's business and be about our own business. It's very easy to be about our own business. It really is. But what point is it for the Lord to bring people here if we are about our own business? And I was thinking about that morning. For all about our own business, our personal agenda, about our own mind, our own carnal way, what good is it to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men? It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. And it's going to profit what? Nothing. It's actually going to do more damage than any good at all. And you know, and that's what we need to be about seeking on a daily basis, is doing the Lord's will. Loving God and love one another. Because if He brings people in and for all about the Lord and His ways, we have that song, Show Me Thy Ways, O Lord, Teach Me Thy Paths. And if we're all about that and we're all about teaching that to the other people, then praise God. It's all about Him. It's all about what He's done. It's all about His ways, not our own. And I do see a forward motion coming along. And it's a praise God. The chapel's coming together. People have been over here to help out in a great way. Everybody's hand has almost been into helping getting this place squared away. And it's been an awesome thing. But yet, even though we have had stood and got this place ready, don't forget what it's about. Like Paul said, it's not about just filling the church. That's not what it's about. There's a lot of people that tell people what they want to hear to fill a church. But it's good for nothing. Because it's all about them. It's all about numbers. It's all about productivity in a carnal way. You know, we need to be about the Lord's business in this. We need to be about His way, about His love. Because that's just the fundamental of it. About Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sorry heart. So I can have fellowship with Him, and then I can know Him, and then I can enter in. That's what it's about. So keep that in mind as we're moving forward. Don't forget that. That's the fundamentals of it. And there's another thing I was thinking on this morning, if I can find it. And I know I've gone over this before, but it is something that I was thinking about, because I was going, Lord, I have no idea I have no idea what to tell these people this morning. I have nothing to offer. I really don't. I'm going, I don't know. I can go here and go there. I don't know. I don't know. And what came to my mind is, you know, where's your faith? Is it in yourself? And so something that I have to offer, which is, you know, that
ugly.
Or is it in the Lord and what He has to offer? And I was just thinking on that, and I said, you know, and that was just a relaxing comfort. That was a relaxing thing. And I want to go to verse Luke 8:22. I'm sorry. Luke 22. Is y'all still turning? No dead air. No dead air. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. I mean, that's a pretty big storm. You know, I see the deadliest catch, and I'm going, boy, I wouldn't want to be out there. It was filling the boat up with water, and they were in jeopardy. That means they were in danger. Ship's probably on the way to sinking. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And I look at that. How many times throughout the day do we walk with our faith not in the Lord? But our eyes are upon the circumstances and on the waves and on the storm. Going, oh boy, I'm doomed. This is bad. I do it too much. So much I don't even want to admit how much I do it. But I do it way too much. And that's unbelief. And the Lord has not called us to walk in unbelief. He's called us to walk in faith in Him. And what He's done. You know, He said, we're going to the other side. At the end of it, it said, what manner of man is this? The water and the wind, they all, it obeys Him. That's our Heavenly Father. And if He died on the cross for my sin, then He did that. And I have faith in that. He covered all my sin. Not that one that I feel so terrible about that I just don't want to, oh man, don't even want to say. No, all sin. Faith is what He's done for us and that covering in us. And faith is an action word, folks. It's an action word. You know, I want to go to Hebrews 11. Here's some examples of walking out in faith. And you see the action part of it. You know, faith is the Lord tells you to do something. We say we make our Lord and Savior. Okay, Lord, what would you have me do? Well, I want you to go do this and that. Faith isn't going, well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. Why do you want me to do that? No, it's yes, sir, no problem, and believing whatever that thing he has, no matter how ridiculous it might sound. And it most of the time it comes down to somebody, your authority in the Lord, or your discipler. And you're going, I don't want to do that. It doesn't make any sense at all. Well, trust the Lord. That's faith. That's faith. And I'm going to start reading here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Must believe that he is God. That he is God, the creator of heaven and earth. I was talking to somebody the other night, and they're having a hard time. They're crying out, you know, they're crying out, man, I need a change. My life is a wreck. And granted, he's in some situations that some things were done to him, and it put him in a very bad place. And I was talking to him, and I had that testimony of how the Lord delivered my very bad place over and over again. Had that testimony where married without a home, got home within 2 months. I had a home, had a wife, family, a job, and it wasn't probably 2-3 months before then I didn't have any of that, and I was in a bad situation. Bad situation. But yet the Lord proved himself to me and provided for me and took care of me, all because he's good.
That's right.
And that was not a glorification of what I did right. He just took a bad situation that I caused and flipped it upside down to glorify him. And in the power, he went to take the second death for us, so we don't have to pay for it. He removed all that sin if we're willing to receive it. And he was resurrected in power so that we can live in him and be one with him, that we may know him, the God and creator of our universe. That's an awesome God. But yet we have that choice, folks, to believe it or not to believe. You've seen, we have examples in the Scripture. We have examples in the Scripture of the people, even though they had the testimony of God. The children of Israel had the Red Sea split wide open for them. And they walked across, and it came down and destroyed the Egyptians, which were chasing them down. They had water. They had bread from heaven. God had showed up for the children of Israel as he promised. He's faithful. It's there. It's right there. He's consistent. His promises are there. But yet, because of their disunbelief, even seeing all that done, yet they still walked in unbelief. And even though we have the testimony of what the Lord's done for us, we can still be walking in unbelief and go to hell. Still can happen. But that's why it's important to put your faith in the Lord. Because you don't have to. His promises, His will is that none be lost. It's up to us. I mean, hell is created for the devils and his angels. We have a choice. What team we're going to be part on? Are you going to be a part of the world, which is Satan's? Or are you going to be part of the kingdom of God, which is faith, power, and love? Love, power, and a sound mind. That's what he has for us. And it's a simple choice. Don't get it confused. It's not anything that we can do. As far as in this flesh, it's just we choose the Lord. We choose to believe Him. We choose, and if we believe Him, we'll do what He says. If we love Him, you'll do what He says. And you'll believe that He's good, and that there's no unrighteousness in Him at all. So it's going to be no big deal to you to say, "Yes, Lord, no problem." Because you know that is the Creator of heaven and earth that wants you to be in heaven with Him. And has made that way for you. So you choose Him. He has a plan. It's just that we just need to get on that plan. Now I'm going to carry on. By faith at 7. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was telling them, guys, look, it's gonna rain, it's gonna flood. If you're not on this boat, you will die. Everybody, ha! Rain? You've never seen that before. You're crazy, Noah. But the day came, and the rain came. And the floods happened. And those that did not what? Believe. It was a simple choice. Noah built the ark, buddy. It's just a matter of walking on. Well, is that simple? Heck yeah, it might rain. You know what, Noah? I'm going to get on the boat with you. That's all it took. That's all what it took. Simple choice.
Just in case you might be right.
Just in case you might be right. Yeah. Good point, Paul. But that's what Jesus Christ is for us. Is that salvation? Is that boat? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in land of promises, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who he had promised. When Sarah made that choice to believe God and believe that he was faithful and that his word is true, boom. Conceived. Promise happened. It's right there for us right now, folks. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persecuted of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he had received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had the respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. By faith. You know, we have that. I know there's a saying, once saved, always saved. But here it's very evident that this is just not the case. What does Paul say? I die daily to this flesh, to his own will, to do the Father's will. Believe in God. You know, we do not know we're saved. You are not guaranteed. We won't know until you have enter in that good and faithful servant. You have chosen to believe my word and you walked it out. You believed that my sacrifice covered all your sin. You believed me. And you did as I commanded. That's what I want to hear. And that's what I want to hear for all of us. And that's what I want to hear for the people that don't know him. You take Rahab the harlot was one of those examples. A harlot, guys. Praise God, I love those type of examples. Because I'm even more screwed up. But yet she believed God. And it was accounted her for righteousness. And she was looked on in Hebrews 11 as one of those that seeing God seem faithful. You know, it's not about how good you've been. It's not about how hard you worked. It's not about what accomplishments you made in this world. It's about putting God first above all things. And loving Him with everything you got and loving one another. In doing that, you'll be on that boat. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up.
That time it wasn't me. It will be here shortly, but it wasn't then. So you put it up there for me to do that with again, right? The testimony of the Lord who proves himself faithful is that, and I'm going to start right where Philip started, not in the same verse, but the same place. Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what am I going to do with that? I'm going to find the place that I marked. Let's see how that works. Matthew 6:33. The rewarder of those that diligently seek him is that when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no care, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough to deal with. The what ifs are evil. And if you seek him and his righteousness, then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he reveals himself, and all these other things are added unto you. Now, we get a little touch of that, and we become like Corinthians. And I'm just going to spend a minute in 1 Corinthians 3, a minute or however long it takes. Chapter 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am Paul, another, I am of Apollos, Are ye not carnal? For who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Sometimes we forget that. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath put there and built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, if you're built on that foundation of Jesus Christ, ye, the body, can be the temple of God. But we tend to be like in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? And yet, you know, you got a choice here. You can walk as men, or you can walk as God's possession. And the difference in the two, as I go to yet another scripture, the difference between the two, Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. You know, if you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God, you're not walking around as men. You're walking around as somebody who, the next verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You're walking around as somebody that he has given, he is quickening back to. Somebody who's walking around with newness of life. Somebody who is seeking him first to become the son of God. Which is the promise, right? It's a promise out of John chapter 1 and other places. Anybody can walk around as a man. Any man out there can do that. But there's no reward promised to that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And if you're dead in baptism, and your life is hid with Christ and God, and you're successfully seeking him and his righteousness, then the envyings and the strife and the carnally walking as men walk give way to doing the first things first, which is loving God and loving one another. You're seeking to provoke one another to righteousness and good works rather than to just provoking one another because it's fun. Then we all have to be drama queens. And I need people to pay me attention, so I have to show you how worried I am about all this stuff, because it sounds like I'm really concerned. And all it really is a confession of unbelief, and that I don't trust God. When you walk around as men, you still esteem people who are just stirring it up because they can stir it up. And all they're doing that for is attention. And when you have such a low standard, is it any wonder if people can walk in unawares seeking to destroy you and the body? There's a lot of places I could go here. But that 1 Corinthians 3 has a charge in it that we need to all pay attention to. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. I don't want to be stuck in Babesville forever. I'm a consumer and not a provider. I should be providing spiritual blessings to everyone else around me. I should be consuming the strong meat because I'm able, and spreading the milk around to those who aren't. I don't want to be subject to the same charge. When you get about that business, then you don't really care who you're receiving of. You're just glad that you're receiving, because that means the Lord has yet proven how great he is, how much he loves you, how much you're actually seeing yourself before him, and how worthless you are, and how great and loving and merciful and kind and righteous he is. I would just charge you that we keep coming back to this. Seek him and his righteousness, and let all these things be added unto you. That is the setup of Hebrews 11:6. If you believe that he is, then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you can actually believe that, you can receive all these things. And the big what if in the next verse doesn't even concern you, because you trusted him who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And just thank him and praise him right now in Jesus' name for truth of his word.